from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Tina Talks Truth, live from the booth, always this 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist that features soul like nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina Talks Truth about culture and healing. So I hope you're tuning in to the radio. Tina Talks Truth is the only way to go.
Good morning. It's Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. Thank you for listening. I am so glad you're here. No, seriously, I am so blessed to have you with me this morning. Just like I am blessed to have this special guest and friend. Amanda Horton is our guest this morning. But first, before I get to Amanda, I just want to share Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed of this world. This guest today is just going to knock your socks off. Is that even capable? Can someone knock someone's socks off? I don't know, but she is just going to give you that aha moment. You're going to want to get some paper out and take some notes, because not only is she going to share about the silent struggle of having depression and being a suicide attempt survivor, but she shares so many nuggets of knowledge about, you know, ways to help someone that may be contemplating suicide. Also, she shares how to manage depression daily, as well as what God has done in her life and what God is doing today. God has truly saved Amanda's life. And like she shares her testimony, God's not done with her. God's not finished with her yet. And she's going to share just this remarkable, it's a miracle that this woman is alive, let alone using her hurt and pain and struggles to encourage and inspire so many people. I'm telling you, she is such an inspiration. And we are just so blessed to share in her joy in this journey. I just love that. She says that a lot in this interview, is about how she has joy today. And that is all because of God. She doesn't conform to this world. She actually lives out God's will today. You just have to hear this interview. But first, let me just pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for breath. I thank you for people like Amanda, Lord, that you saved. You saved her. And what a mighty work she's doing for the kingdom, God. And we thank you for everything that you have given us, that you are the sole provider, Lord. You know all of the details of our needs and the desires of our hearts, God, and that you provide every moment of every day. And we trust you, Lord, and we thank you and we praise you, God. We give you all the glory today. And I give you the glory for not only Amanda's life, but all of those that you saved, God, not just from suicide attempts, God, but all those people that you have saved. Maybe they have just been in spiritual warfare or have spiritually committed suicide. You have saved all of these people, Lord, because you're not finished with them yet. Thank you for this radio show that we can share this hope, joy, laughter, and healing with the world. And we just ask for a hedge of protection around each listener. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's Amanda.
Good morning. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. And I have a special guest with me today. This is Amanda, and she's a Christian comedian, a survivor, and
I would love to be America's Next Top Model, but I'm going to go with whatever God's plan is for me.
Yes, okay.
Every day I'm working to figure that one out.
Well, welcome, welcome. Thank you for being on
Thank
the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We're very excited to have you. And girl, you are just moving and shaking in the community and the world. And I'm just so proud of you. And I am excited for the world to get to know you. So say hello to my friends.
Hi, guys. How's everybody doing today? It's so great. It's so great to even be on here. Thank you so much, Tina, for the opportunity to be able to share a little bit. I'm excited for any opportunity that I'm given to be able to talk to each and every one of you guys.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for being a light in so many people's darkness. And we're going to cover that in just a second. But, you know, I met you years ago, and we both have been part of just an incredible ministry, Healing Laughter Ministries, which is a comedy outreach. And we go out to churches and we performed at the National Faith Symposium together. And just, it's been such a blessing to be your friend on and off the stage. And I tell you, folks, she's hilarious, not only on stage, but we have had many, many laughs off stage as well. So thank you for being here, and thank you for being my friend. You're just awesome.
You are welcome. Thank you for paying me to be your friend. That makes it so much easier.
Did you get that check?
I did. It didn't clear, but I got it.
Oh, well, you know, it's the thought. It's the thought that counts, Amanda.
It is.
I mean, $5,000 was kind of pushing it, but...
You know, we're comedians here, so I was banking on that.
I know, exactly, yes. We're not rolling in the dough, people. Let's just say that.
We're doing it for Jesus, not for the money, Tina.
We are doing it for Jesus. So we had met, and of course, we share the same passion of having comedy and just, you know, I believe for both of us, our humor has really saved us, because if you
Absolutely.
Can't laugh at yourself, you're going to cry. So helped heal us, as well as I think it helped convey a lot of the darkness that we've been through. And you're a huge advocate for mental health awareness and education. And I know one of your, you know, huge passions is educating the church about suicide and depression. And you do such an incredible job of doing that on stage and off stage. If you wouldn't mind sharing some of your testimony of how did you get to the point of just letting your light shine, even though there were many, many people and circumstances that were trying to dim that light, but you still let your light shine. And for that, I'm just so grateful. So please share with our listeners your testimony.
Absolutely. Well, I guess it has started years and years ago. I'm approaching my 40th birthday. Several years ago, everything was going well in life by all standards. There was just some things that I noticed that were a little bit different. So after going in to check with the doctor, and like I said, there's long details that go with that, but I was diagnosed with clinical depression and anxiety. Even for myself, I speak regularly to all types of groups, but it was hard for me to acknowledge at that point in time because I couldn't tie it to anything. There was no reason for that. There was no reason for me to be anxious. There was no reason for me to be depressed. And I wouldn't allow myself to be tagged with that label per se. It was probably a 5-year battle that I wouldn't allow myself to be tagged with that label because I just could not believe that that was true. The common thought process and the common mentality is if, as a Christian, if your faith is strong enough, if you're doing well for yourself, if your life is productive, then there is no reason to be depressed because we tag it to those type of things. That is a common issue. I myself was doing the same thing. But when I realized, when God allowed me to continue working at the pace I was going with a great career, great relationships, both friends and dating, in my church, in my walk with God, everything that I was doing, my diet, my health, when I was on the top of my game with all of those things and it continued to be a problem and the doctors were able to show me and I was able to successfully realize that it was a chemical imbalance, that's when the real work began. That silent struggle, because of the stigma, the very stigma that I work to erase now and to educate people on now, is the very stigma I had about myself and with others. And that was a very hard thing for me. I hear functioning alcoholics live this secret life where they work and they do everything, but then at 5 o'clock, here it is, here's what it is. It's no different with certain mental health illnesses where certain things come into play during the day. I was very functional. So in my late 30s, which In December, I'm celebrating my 5-year anniversary, Suicide Survival Date anniversary, which I'm very, very excited about. God brought everything to a screeching halt. I was having ebbs and flows with my depression. On December 23rd, 2012, I decided, Lord, I cannot do this anymore. I'm done. You're going to have to take over. I can't live and function another day with this illness. It's not getting any better. So with that, I sent a text off to a friend saying, basically, I'm done. And I pulled the trigger on a gun and shot myself. I woke up about 4 days later, 3 to 4 days later, to find that my sad attempt, what a better time in life, by the grace of God, to be an epic failure. We hate being failures, but what an amazing time in life to be an epic failure. By the grace of God, a bullet had went completely through my sternum, my heart, my kidney. It did not hit my lungs. It did not hit my spine, and it did not exit my back, stopping in my spleen. After multiple days in surgeries and in the hospital, and even to date, multiple surgeries that have been caused from that, God brought it to my attention on that day that He's not finished with me yet. He is not finished with me yet. And I didn't realize the magnitude of that statement. You know, we all love hearing our mother's words ring true to us, and usually they do at the worst times possible. And I can remember being in the hospital, laying flat on my back, physically incapable of doing anything because I was not out of the woods yet, and they were still unsure if I was going to survive, hearing my mother's words that I had heard a million times before. Sometimes when you're flat on your back or flat on your face, the only direction you can look is up. And that was so real to me. I'm like, I'm literally in a position. I've never been in a position where it was real and physical, but I am now. I physically can't get up. God, everything I was doing on my own to try and make this not be real was. God, you saved me. God, I can't do it anymore. Please take it. You did. I would have preferred that the bullet not go through, but God did save me, and I'm here almost 5 years later by the grace of God, and I'm realizing each day, I'm so grateful each day to realize that God can use me more now broken than He ever could whole. And God is using this. God has used the depression, and God has used the anxiety. Has it went away? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God, where I was continuing to get therapy and I was continuing to have supports and things like that, God has shown me different ways to use those things. And in those trials and in those days, because it's not something that does go away overnight when it's a chemical imbalance. It's something that you're always going to have to manage, which I tell folks all the time. It's something you manage just like you would manage diabetes or high blood pressure, or as simple as putting on a pair of prescription glasses. You would not start your day without your glasses. So why would you not start your day with the other tools of the trade that are going to help you with your mental health illness? So God has brought me, I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm so, so grateful for the opportunity God's given me. Once I fully recovered physically, God started opening doors, and I didn't realize from that silent battle, the doors that it was going to open. That bullet opened people's eyes. As they sat in the hospital room that day, they had no clue, because Amanda was that picture-perfect, happy, functioning, successful young lady. And for her to be attacked by that, it raised so much awareness that, wow, this could be hitting people in our homes. Depression doesn't look like a sad face all the time. And so it started peaking questions, and people started coming out of the woodwork. Like Tina said, we met through several years ago through some other folks. And as much as Tina and I both share the ability to laugh and make others laugh, we've realized that's been a coping mechanism for us, but it's also been a platform. Anybody in this world can be funny, but we enjoy the ability to stand up in front of folks and to engage in laughter with folks for a common cause. So when we're up there, laughter is so healing, and God, that's a thing that God has given us. When folks are up there laughing and we're doing that, we're engaged with them, and then we can use that platform to be able to educate people about other things and about other subjects. And, you know, like Tina said earlier, it's laughing through the journey. There are some pieces of my story that are in no way, shape, or form funny, but absolutely those day-to-day things, the Bible tells us to take captive every thought, and you don't think about that. Until I had clinical depression and anxiety. I realized that taking captive every thought, I had a lot of thoughts during the day, and most of them were self-destructive. They were coming out of nowhere. They were coming straight from the devil, and I was so exhausted, I wasn't doing anything to ward them off. And so as we learn those skills and those tools to be able to do that, God has given God has given us so many resources. Those are there to use. Some folks are on a level where they have to use medication. Other people are on different levels with other things. Everyone has a different combination in their life of things that work for them. And God is the one that orchestrates and ordains those things if you have a personal relationship with Him. And I'm so grateful to be able to say I'm standing here almost five years later. God has given me this platform to be able to educate women and men and children who have no clue. The increased suicide rate is just, it just blows my mind away at the amount of people that are attempting suicide, have attempted suicide, or survivors of suicide as far as relatives and things like that go. You know, the stigma is very, very, very real. A lot of the things that I never wanted to deal with, I currently now deal with. There are some days that it is very, very difficult to do that, but I'm also so grateful living in the moment and finding that joy in the journey that God has blessed me with the ability to see now through, you know, His word and prayer partners and wonderful accountability partners and then wonderful doctors and therapists and things like that to be able to live a normal functioning life with ups and downs, but not destructive point. So I am beyond blessed. I'm not excited for the opportunity. I'm beyond blessed to go and use what God has given me to speak to others because I know that is a job He has given me. Not everybody can do that job. I want to be a good steward of what He's given me. I'm very excited to be able to do that each and every opportunity I get.
And you are so good at what you do. You know, I just want to share that. Amanda, of course, when she's on stage and she does comedy and she does share, you know, the hope and the joy and the humor lightens the load, so to say. In the comedy world, some people say, leave it all on the stage. But you don't leave it all on the stage. You actually put so much more effort behind the stage, off the stage, helping people, texting people, calling people, talking to people, spending time with people. I think that's what is so awesome to see with you, that you are blessed, but it's in your walk. You know, faith without works is dead. You have faith today, and it's in your walk. You know, you're not just talking it. You walk the talk. And, you know, I know that because I'm your friend, and I've experienced that. You know, I mean, there's been times where I've been struggling, and you text me back, I'm praying right now. And I got to tell you, that means the world to me, that you're going to take time out of your life, and you're going to pray right now. Like, that just touches me so much. So you touch many, many people's hearts, and you probably don't even realize it, of how much, you know, just you walking the talk off stage just really touches people. Some of the things that you talked about was your daily management, and that you have to manage all the time your anxiety and your depression. And some of the actual management tools that you shared were stopping the self-destructive thoughts or transforming those into, you know, positive affirmations. Also, you talked about accountability and prayer partners and how important that is for all of us, not just people that struggle with depression or anxiety or addictions, but all of us as Christians. You know, we're not in this alone. And God wants us to lean on one another, and God wants us to cast our burdens to Him. He doesn't say just, you know, sit in your closet and you're going to just, you know, worry and be anxious and you're going to just be overwhelmed all the time and I want you to just worry, worry, worry. That's not what the Bible tells us. If there is someone out there right now, Amanda, that is contemplating suicide, what can you tell them right now so that they can feel some sort of hope?
You know, everybody is in a different place. Everybody is in an absolutely different place. And the one thing that I have learned over the years that I've tried to be for others and tried to surround myself with, and I have just learned it, I've been able to fully embrace it in the last 5 years, is how important it is. I don't want to say separate from my walk with God, but along with my walk with God, is to have individuals in your life that are there supporting you, loving you, and they're healthy. They're healthy individuals that love you and support you. Not everybody is equipped for this. Not everyone is equipped for this. But here is what I'm going to tell you. We live in the day and age where everything is at our fingertips. We can find out how to, you know, I laughed. I was able to make something the other night for my nephews by a simple YouTube video. Googling it. In a matter of 3 to 5 minutes, we have every answer at the tip of our fingers. But we don't want to do that for ourselves because it's not something we can see. We can see that we're drowning. We can see that it's affecting our families. We can see that we're on a destructive path, but that's not a real thing to us sometimes, and we minimize it. If you don't have those healthy supports in your life, I encourage you. I mean, everybody did something for the first time that was tough or that was hard. We moved. We got married. We, you know, joined a gym. We took that first step into a job. Whatever it is, we took that first. This is another one of those firsts. And the thing that is so encouraging about this first is this first step to get help is probably the most important step you'll ever make in your life. It comes with a lot of bumps, but you know what? The alternative is absolutely fatal. I have realized now that through the churches, if you're not a believer, then, you know, there's help and there's things like that too. All these worlds merge. There's not one way to go if you're a non-Christian versus another way to go if you are a Christian. Absolutely, if Christ is the center of your life, you're going to reach out to those folks directly, but I encourage folks as non-believers or folks that aren't actively participating in their local churches or areas around to reach out. There's so many ministries going on because the church has such a heart for people that are hurting. There's wonderful ministries like Celebrate Recovery, Tina. You're familiar with some of the things that they do. There's so many different places that you can go. The one thing as Christians that I think is a common mistake that we make is we do go straight to the church, and that is one of the pieces and the tools, but we also have to remember the church is a hospital for the healing, and they're praying for us and with us and over us as we walk through this journey. And God created doctors. God created therapists, and that's their job. And going in to speak with them is their gift and their skill and their talent, and that's what they are there for, is to help the hurting. There's local places all around you that you can go. One of the big pieces of my heart right now is the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. There's a national number. Tina, I'm hoping at the end you'll be giving that out to everyone. Absolutely, that is a number that without question, they will help you, no questions asked. That is their job and their responsibility. How amazing is that? We can call a friend, we can call someone around us, and they have the option, the liberty to do, they can answer the text, they cannot answer the text. Tina, they cannot answer your call, they cannot pray for you. That national number, that's their job. Like, don't we wish that of our family and our friends sometimes, that it was mandatory, they had to call us back? That's the job of that number, is to call us back and to give us the national help. Absolutely, I will be the first one to tell you that if you are connected in your community in any way, that is an amazing place to go as well, because it may narrow down some of the loopholes and the challenges that you have to face when you call the national number. Guys, it is so, so important, almost as important as calling that national number. And I do speak from a Christian standpoint, because I do not know how anyone, my heart is breaking for individuals who have to do this or any challenge in life. Just doing life in general is hard without Christ. I was saved at the age of 13, and I lived a great life going through church, going through the motions. I knew Jesus was real, but he had never hit that point for me where it was a mandatory need. He was out there. He wasn't my main focus. He was my go-to after. And I think that's a common thing that happens for a lot of us. And in the last 5 years, working so hard for the first time in life after years and years and years of being in Bible studies and things like that, I'm in a regular prayer, ongoing weekly prayer thing and conversation with multiple folks. And these are women of faith, women of accountability, women who are going to call me out, women who care, women who will flat out say, we don't understand your struggle, but we understand you. We understand your heart, and what can we do? Some of them are so educated on what's going on to the point that they know the signs and the symptoms. Over the past few years, I've had to dismiss individuals that didn't get that and they weren't healthy options, allowing me to have my way or to be passive with not taking care of myself. Because when you hit those slumps, whether it be a bipolar disorder or PTSD, there are things that you will justify not doing because of lack of motivation. And that's when you need to just be motivated enough to be able to reach out by text, by call, by whatever, to those people that have obligated themselves to you to say, you know what, I'm going to stand in that gap. I'm going to stand in that gap for you. And you know what, Amanda, I know this is not going to be an easy journey, but let's walk alongside you. sometimes they're just called to pray for you because they are not equipped. And I don't think everybody needs to be in that position with you. Some people are called to walk that journey with you. And I tell you, folks, those are the people. I'm throwing this out on national radio. Pray for those people. Pray for the people that support me. I mean, that's a full-time job right there. Supporting somebody who struggles with a mental health illness is a challenge. The ups and downs of that. The ups and downs of people who are getting help is a challenge. The ups and downs of doing life with people who are not is, I can't even fathom that.
Well, I think one of the biggest struggles is when you're seeing that individual isolate themselves, and then they, you know, it kind of reminds me of a cat that, you know, hisses and then tries to claw at you. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be near that cat. You know, the last thing
absolutely.
I want to do is pet that cat and be close to it and all that. And I've experienced that personally with loved ones, that they isolate themselves and then they are crabby and they're not very nice or positive to be around. But that's when I need to engage. That's when I need to, because my friend Amanda taught me, that's when those people need me most, that I need to approach them and just ask, you know, how can I pray for you? How can I be with you right now? It seems like you are isolating, and this is what I'm seeing physically. This is what I'm seeing you do. And that was one of the things I learned from you, was to just love on that person, even though when they don't feel lovable and they don't really want to be loved, just love on them.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is very, very tough. Everyone in this world is completely different. Everyone's love language in this world is completely different. The way they receive and accept love is completely different. The one thing I think is a common issue for all of us, and this is a battle, I don't say this is something that everybody struggles with. This is something we all struggle with, myself included. We are very selfish. We as a world are very selfish. And when you go into something like you're talking about this cat here that's hissing and causes you to back away and run away, as a supporter, as an individual that loves these type of folks, you have to remember it's not like the little pain management facial emoji thing that we see in the doctor's office or in the hospital, where a smile means happy and a frown means sad. I could not have been more fully functioning, doing everything, being outgoing with a big smile on my face, and could not have been a more miserable human being. So building that relationship with someone is what you have to do, and not making it about yourself. It doesn't always have to be. I think the thing that happens with us a lot of times is we feel like we are not equipped to be able to deal with people, or like you said, Tina, people are ugly. We're ugly. Get away. Like the dog that bites, the cat that hisses, get away. We will do whatever we can do to get you to get away, or we will run on fast forward and you can't keep up. There's so many different ways that it happens. The thing that we do as supporters is we tend to take it so personally. When they hiss at us, we don't interpret that hiss as, well, listen, I'm trying to be nice. You've just made it about you. You've just made it about you. And you need to, that's why I say be prayed up when you go in. Loving these people unconditionally, it's so easy to love folks when they're lovable. It's loving the unlovable that's so hard. The first thing that we typically do is we pull back our love when it's not received well. And that if I could drive that point home with so many folks, in my own world included, loving the unlovable sometimes. And I don't mean it's always a nasty, ugly behavior, but I just mean knowing them and loving them, the tough love. Tough love shows up and says, you know what, I think you're going to need to go to the hospital. Tough love says, I know you're really depressed right now. I don't have any pearls of wisdom, but I'm hugging on you. No words included. I think I speak for every person who has ever struggled with a mental health illness when I say, if you came over and said, I have the secret to depression and anxiety or a bipolar disorder or PTSD, I would probably punch you, because that's something we have been fighting to want to find for years. The struggle and the journey is such a challenge. Balancing medication, seeing therapists, the cost, learning to function in a home, working, not allowing this to overcome you and manage it. So a lot of times, we don't want to support individuals because A, it hurts us, or we don't feel equipped. Some of the best support I have ever received was from some of the most amazing people who don't have a clue. Anybody can pray for you, and anybody in this world can hug you, and anybody in this world can love you, but you have to remember when you're going in to support those people that they may not be able to give that back. We want it back, but sometimes we're not equipped at this moment. And the thing I do try to drive home with folks a lot of times, a mental health illness is not a lot different than other illnesses as well. What do you want when you're upset? What do you want when you're hurt? whether it be because you lost a job, because you're anxious, because you're depressed, because you were diagnosed with cancer, because you're in seventh grade and you got a horrible report card and you know that's going to come with consequences. It goes for all ages. You want to know that, hey, I royally messed up, but someone still loves me, and we are going to get through this. I don't even know what that looks like, and it's okay to be blunt and honest. My sister is a wonderful example of that. She will be the first one to say, I have no clue what you are going through, and I can't even begin to imagine, but we're going to figure this out. We are going to figure this out. That word we, she has no idea how valuable that word is. And that's something that, as I educate others, is that we don't feel equipped. We are so ill-equipped. I was not equipped to do life after a suicide attempt, but you have to figure it out a day at a time. I often use this example. We gained weight one cookie at a time, and one day at the gym at a time, the weight comes off. So it's just that one step a day at a time. And what makes that easier is the support that goes with it.
You know, the point that you're saying is that you're not alone. And for many people, I'm sure after suicide attempt, that stigma, and there's that, you know, if people, they don't know what to say. I think maybe that's what it is a lot of times too, is that, you know, it's like, what do you say to this person that, you know, just shot themselves in the chest, you know? And so that is such great advice and suggestions of just love the unlovable, give freely for God. Don't do it to get something in return. Just give freely for God and just reassure them that they're not alone. I mean, we're not alone. As much as we think we are alone, or that we're just on this island struggling with these, you know, issues or these problems, or, you know, whatever it is that is on our mind. I always call it, like, you know, the itty bitty committee.
You know? Right.
The itty-bitty committee that has the self-destructive thought.
Don't use that word when you go into a mental health office or they're going to medicate that. If you talk about the itty-bitty crew that's living in your head, Tina, I'm just going to give you that. That's free pearls of wisdom, guys.
Yes. So, yeah, so this itty-bitty committee, you know, it's, you know, that self-destructive thoughts, it's everything. I'm taking everything personal. Oh, my goodness, they didn't hug me back because, you know, maybe I smell, or actually I do. But anyways.
The thing I think we fail to remember, and we in general, everyone struggles differently. So every day I run into something and someone that does it a little bit differently than I do. And I think on some level, we all have anxiety regarding some things, but we all have insecurities regarding some things. Chemical imbalances, we don't all experience that. But the thing that I like to do is make things relatable. It is very tough. It's very, very tough. The one thing you had asked me as far as walking into churches and erasing the stigma, the one thing we fail miserably at as Christians, and as the church is doing a phenomenal job, there's still that stigma there, and they're working, they're doing an amazing job with the different groups and things like that are offering support. So as we're able to walk into these churches, one thing you hear that's a very cliche statement in churches all the time, your faith may not be strong enough, or God is enough, and this and that. Absolutely, that could not be more true of a statement that God is enough. It has nothing to do with your faith, and that is something that I've heard. God is enough, and what God can do is supply each. If God can know, Tina, the number of hairs on my head and that fall down in the shower drain every morning and that are in my hairbrush, He can supply each and every single need that I have in my life. And that means every specific need, no matter how ridiculous we think it is. And as a church, that's why it's so important that we are in tune with being the hands and feet of Jesus. I go to an amazing church, and the pastor there often uses this statement, we are here to be God's love with skin. And as cliche as that sounds, as many nights as I struggled with depression and knowing that I'm laying here, I'm crying my eyeballs out, God is enough. It would have been wonderful to have someone's arms wrapped around me, and I didn't allow myself to have that because of the stigma. And now God has given me the voice to be able to reach out, and He's put me in a great group with people that I can gain that from, that are the hands and feet of Jesus. They don't know how to balance my medication, but you know what they can do? They can take a phone call and say, you know what, let's pray right now. Or they can also call me out of the middle of nowhere if they haven't heard from me, because God has placed that on their heart. They don't know why, but hey, Amanda, we've got so-and-so going on tomorrow. You want to come? Or hey, Amanda, I've got a project going on. Would you mind helping out with that? You're great with this and that. It's so important when God puts something on your heart, you have no idea why He does that, to follow and obey and follow through with what he tells you to do, because not doing that may be detrimental to someone else.
I love
that.
Yeah,
it's so important. So important.
Yes, follow that gut instinct. Follow that Holy Spirit. You know, if you're listening right now and you're like, you know what, I just thought of someone this morning, just out of the blue, I haven't heard or talked to them in a while. You know what, contact them and tell them, hey, I just saw McDonald's and I thought of you. Or, you know, just reach out to people. That's so important. Thank you for bringing that up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is amazing. It's amazing. We live in such an amazing world today that has so many things right at our fingertips. Instead of us utilizing those things to reach out to people more, I'm finding with a lot of the teens that I work with and things I do with, they're becoming more of a recluse. It takes nothing. It takes nothing to shoot someone a text message or a Snapchat video or an Instagram. I tell teens all the time, meet people where they're at. You know what? If they don't reply to a text message, don't send them a text message. But if they're going to send you a picture back on Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is, know each person and know what their needs are. And that way that helps you be able to know how to communicate with them better. If you're looking to communicate with me through certain avenues, it's not going to work because that's not who I am. I just can't emphasize enough as a church, how important our job is to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I just cannot emphasize that enough. God does not call us to fight every battle. Sometimes God calls me to pray for folks. There's other times that God calls me to answer the prayer. And I have to be very in tune with what God has in store for my life and what he wants me to be doing, because absolutely do I not want to be helping someone that God has not put on my heart to help. I don't want to steal anyone else's blessing if God has put it on their heart to do it. Could I meet the need? Absolutely. But is that God, what God wants me to be doing? And I don't for a second want to walk past any person that's needing something out of selfish ambition and desires. Yeah, that lady right there, I saw her. She could really have used some help. But you know what? My husband's at home and I got to get there. My kids need new clothes for school. We've got to get to the mall. I do not have time to do this and this. So-and-so answered me and said, and folks, I'm going to tell you, people that are struggling with a mental health illness, it has taken me 5 years to be able to have the communication skills that I have now. They're not going to tell you, hello, hello, here's a picture of me, here's the this, here's the gun, here's the bullet, here's the this and that. You have to watch for the signs. You don't have to be skilled and have a degree in mental health illnesses to do these things. If your wife was talking to you on a daily basis and things are going well and all of a sudden you find her not doing those things, something's wrong. It may not be a mental health illness, but it's something. Ask, open your mouth. You would do it if it was anything else. Your kids, there's a change in behavior. They were eating, now they're not. It can be so simple. We talk to our kids, we talk to our spouses, we talk to our friends about everything else in the world, but our relationship with God and tricky, testy subjects are the things that are uncomfortable for us because, again, we're making it about us. We tend to not do. Suicide rate is booming, Tina. It's booming right now, and that breaks my heart to want to talk to every person that struggles and challenged and give them every piece of information I can. At the end of the day, the decision is theirs on what they choose to do with it, but I don't want any person to stumble. I take that job very seriously. I don't want any person to stumble, stagger, or even take their life because I didn't have the time to offer them the information.
I believe that suicide now is the second leading cause of death for ages 15 to 25, which is just devastating and preventable. It's totally preventable. And
absolutely.
Each one of us can actually contribute and do something to prevent it and help others. And so, you know, we're just encouraging all of the listeners that, you know, if you do have that gut or that fleeting thought of the Holy Spirit just lays someone heavy on your heart, let them know. Reach out to them. I also like, Amanda, that you said to Facebook message them or text them or email them or call them. You know, everyone likes something different, and it's important to figure that out. Figure out what your friends and family prefer. You know, some people, they want that phone call. And some people, they just want that quick text message saying, hey, I'm thinking about you, or you're heavy on my heart. Or they want an email that just maybe reaches out to them and just pours into them and encourages them. So find out. Some people like face-to-face. Oh, they're not going to respond.
Right. Building those relationships is where you're going to find out what people enjoy. And the thing I think is a common misconception for us all over the place is we feel like when we get that call or when we are in the presence of someone that has that issue, that the conversation is going to be so heavy or it's going to be about that subject directly. Some of the best support you can give, like I said, is a hug or some of the best supports you can give is, you know what, with my anxiety, one of my battles and challenges was making sure that I committed and stuck with going to a doctor's appointment. I had a wonderful, wonderful friend that would hold me accountable to that. I didn't realize that, but God had put that on her heart. And so she would say, okay, you have a doctor's appointment on the 23rd. Hey, do you want to go do dinner after your doctor's appointment? We'll both ride over together. And she got off work. She would do those things. That is a beautiful display of unconditional tough love. It's not convenient. Nothing about this is convenient. But sometimes it may just be a simple, when I say we have to be so in tune with what God puts on our heart, how many times a day or over the course of a weekend do we see a picture of someone on Facebook or Instagram and we think, oh my gosh, I would love to get together with them. God puts that thought in your mind, runs it through your heart, because you know what? You saw the picture. You think it would be amazing to hang out with them because they're great people. You have no idea on the other end of that picture what's going on, and your trip to dinner, your trip to the movies, you're inviting them over to play games or do whatever at your home. It doesn't have to be a conversation about mental health illnesses or their walk with God or things like that. You've created an outlet that night to let them know that they were just so loved on. And I think a lot of times we forget because we're so stressed that we're not equipped. When we do have to embrace the tough subjects, but sometimes you may just be the go-between. Tina, you may not be the one that God uses to directly take an individual to receive the help they need or to walk with them on the journey, but God may give you a little nugget in the middle of the day one day to just brighten someone's day. But you also have to remember that little nugget that he gives you in the middle of the day, if you choose not to take that nugget with someone with a mental health issue, that can turn their whole day upside down, and that anxiety will dwell. Someone, and you're absolutely correct, you mentioned this much earlier, someone can look at you the wrong way in a meeting. Someone can do this or can do that, or someone can come home and say something, and that will sit on the mind of a person with anxiety, with depression, and completely consume them and deplete them. As God's wonderfully, wonderfully, painfully teaching me, taking captive every thought, is learning with a lot of effort and work to stop those thoughts on command and realize, you know what? Maybe Tina was having a bad day today. That's why she didn't smile or look at me. Maybe Tina's annoyed right now with somebody else, with her husband, wife, kids, whatever, whoever it was. It was a bad morning. But in that moment, she didn't give me something back. And so I'm interpreting it as hate, as I've done something wrong, and self-defeating. God takes you through so many steps, and he teaches you to, hey, shut that off right here. Take captive every thought. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are one of the most beautiful things that God has ever been able to design. Funny looking, but beautifully and wonderfully made. And God has made you in such an amazing, amazing way. And don't you for a second let the devil have his way in here. The thing I'm so excited about now is, as I'm not 100% successful at it, but as God uses that and teaches you and lifts up your self-esteem and things like that, he shows you how to give that back too. Okay, you know what? It's not about me today, but let me turn that back around and not only not let it deplete me, but let me give them something back. It looks like Tina's having a bad day, so let me see if I can breathe a little life into Tina. Mm-hmm. And guys, it takes, but I'm here to tell you, it takes daily effort and work. Daily effort and work. So if you're loving on someone that's struggling from a post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, or a bipolar disorder, I encourage you so much to educate yourself. I educate myself so much because everyone's stuff is different. We're constantly looking for different things, but you don't have to know all the signs and symptoms, but sometimes why be frustrated with something over and over again if it's your lack of understanding on it? It would just, like I said, we're all responsible for our own actions as someone who struggles, but you would hate to know as a supporter or as someone else that you led them down that road to discouragement.
Listening right now, Amanda, how can they reach out to you? Or maybe there's other resources to educate themselves about mental health.
Absolutely. There's the national number, which Tina will give you guys.
I can
Do you have that now?
1-800-273-8255. That's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-8255.
That's great. That's absolutely the number that anyone in this world can turn around and call, from a mild issue to I love someone and this is what I'm seeing, to I'm right here on the edge. That's what they are equipped to do. That is amazing that we have those kind of people that are out there that are willing and able to help. The other thing that is so, so important that number is there. It's a national suicide prevention crisis line. There are people who find themselves in these places all the time. Like you said, it's the number two leading cause of deaths right now, and it's very, very concerning. I just read an article the other day about colleges and the amount of support they're putting in schools, because a lot of our kids now that are going away to school, the suicide rate is higher than ever. And so they're providing educational materials and things like that. I did mention a while ago, everywhere you turn, there is support. Everywhere you turn is support, and you're going to have to do a little bit of work. The national number is absolutely always, always, always there. Google has been one of the greatest resources ever in this world. There are local hospitals, local churches, local counselors, local doctors. Anyone with insurance can call their doctor's office, and they have to provide a list of numbers for you. Now, the national number you can call, you could call right now and say, hey, I have someone that's struggling with X, Y, and Z, and they can put you in touch with some in your area. If you have the ability and the resources to do that in your area, I would always suggest that first, because, like I said, it will limit some of the questions you'll go through on the national hotline. But there are so many churches, there are so many places, there's so many doctor's offices, that, you know, therapist offices. You can Google anything you want to know, and it will pull up, and they're made to know the information for that. If I called right now to the local doctor's office down the street, the local church down the street, they will say, we have X, Y, and Z here that we can help you, or come on in. If they don't, they'll say, so-and-so does, here's the number. You know, that national number has saved so, so many lives. And on a local level, it just gets so much more intimate and personal and saved so many more. What you're going to find is those connections and things like that. If you don't feel like you have the strength to be able to do it on your own, the one phone call you need to make is to the most supportive, healthy person in your life to do that for you. It's hard. I will tell you, that is one of the bravest phone calls you can ever make. It's hard to realize that when you're in that place, how precious and how valuable you are, because you feel absolutely worthless. To know you are so special and so wonderful and so amazing that one phone call can absolutely save your life.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to note that here in the Tampa Bay area, it's 211. 211,
right.
Just call 211 and it goes straight to the crisis center. And, you know, all of the callers, like you said, are professional. They're trained professionally to help.
You're never going to have the experience of, are they going to call me back? You will never have that. With 411 or 211, either of the information lines where they provide resources, it's the same. The mental health support is just as important as, you know, calling for resources on, hey, we're homeless, or hey, we need support with this. Hey, we need support with getting into a doctor for whatever other illness it is you may be going through. And they have a list. That's what they are there for. And being able to, the sad part is the volume of phone calls that they are getting. But on the flip side of that, I'm so grateful for that number. So grateful for that number and how many lives that it has saved. Its struggles, or they're challenged in some way. Either they're a survivor of suicide, they have a mental health illness, they support someone with it, someone in their life is affected in some way, shape, or form. It's just a ripple effect. Those are things to not only be able to call the 411 and 211 and the national number, but also to be able to educate yourself. Because I'm going to tell you, think about any other issue you have. If you have too many hurdles in the way, you're just going to get discouraged to not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're already fighting and you may not have the support you need, or you do have the support you need, but they're very busy too, because let's face it, guys, we live in the real world where life doesn't stop because things happen. Mental health or otherwise, how many excuses do we make? You know what? I can't. And that's where the anger comes in and the hurdles come in. But, you know, I can't. I got to take my son. He's got baseball practice. When am I possibly going to go to a doctor?
Mm.
No. The thing you have to realize, and I say this specifically with mental health issues, and I know this is with addictions as well, the hurdle that morning to go to that appointment may be, God, I have sat on the edge of my bed numbers of times saying, God, just help me get to the bathroom to be able to take a shower and brush my teeth. So you don't need the additional hurdle. And that sounds ridiculous to people who are fully functioning. It sounds ridiculous to me, the fact that you would have to pray, God, be able to get me from here to the bathroom one step at a time to brush my teeth so I can survive this day.
Mm.
So you don't need those additional hurdles of a canceled doctor's appointment or this or that, so you just shut down. That's why that support is there, is when you call that number, if you decide in the middle of it, it's much like, you know, 911, oh, hey, you know, and you hang up, they have to follow through with helping. They have to follow through with some kind of help to make sure that you're safe and okay.
God bless those people. I mean, they truly have a gift to help people in that. And you know what? You have a gift of actually giving people hope. And so what brings you hope?
There are so many things. Now that I'm able to look at and find the joy in my journey, I have so much hope now, knowing, of course, the obvious is we pray for healing. And we pray that one day God would absolutely fully heal and restore me to the point that I would not need all the things that I need and do. But I have so much hope in the fact that I'm a piece of the puzzle and being able to, I can't save the world, but one by one I can make a difference. That gives me so much hope. I'm not here to point fingers or blame, but I didn't have that hope when I was younger. I didn't have that hope at all. I didn't have that as a young adult because I didn't ask for it, but it also wasn't being offered because I wasn't that connected. And now knowing that God has given me that platform to be able to give others hope, that you know what, there is life after a oops. There's life after a suicide attempt. There's life after PTSD. There's life after, you know, whatever thing that happened. There's life after that. And one step at a time, there's hope. And God has shown me that 5 years out, that he's not finished with me yet. One day at a time. And God has done so many things in my life in just the past 5 years that has just shown me that he is so real. I relish in that joy and that hope every single day, in knowing that my Father is good to fulfill every single one of my needs, and that he's going to continue to do that until the end.
Amen.
That's where it's at.
Yes, yes. Okay, what brings you joy?
I'm very excited to be able to even answer that question. Having depression and anxiety, there's a lot of days that that joy is just not naturally there. Absolutely knowing that Jesus 150,000,000% is where my joy comes from. He gives me that ability to be able to enjoy the things that I can remember being in the most amazing places and not be able to enjoy anything because I just felt so hopeless and in such despair. Jesus has given me through this, and I mean, I'm not a proponent of how this occurred or happened, and I wish I hadn't have crossed this bridge sometimes with the suicide attempt, but the joy in my journey has just been amazing. The doors that God has opened and the purpose he has given me, that was my thing. I knew who I was and whose I was, but I didn't feel like I had a purpose, and I felt like the world would be better off without me, and God has given me a purpose and a reason, and that brings me so much joy, whether it's going to help someone out tomorrow or speaking and talking to a bunch of people and making them laugh tomorrow. God has given me a purpose in life. I'm excited to see where that takes me, and that brings me so much joy.
Awesome. How about laughter? How important is laughter in your life?
Wow. that was the biggest coping mechanism I used as a child. Now, there's probably way more sarcasm in it as a child than there should have been, and even so now. But it's so therapeutic. God has blessed me with some amazing, amazing people in my life, and I genuinely look forward to the times that we set aside to be able to just laugh and goof. And I would love to tell you it's this big faith-centered, God-centered moment, but I believe it was God-ordained because we can sit there and enjoy each other's company and absolutely, for a minute, just be able to check out and just laugh and embrace what's going on in life right now. And listen, sometimes there's nothing else you can do but laugh. And to know that I can bring that little bit of relief, there's a lot of things that people do to bring relief in their life and to bring just a little bit of something that will diminish the pain. And there's healthy ways and there's definitely unhealthy ways. And laughter is such a healthy way to do that. I love being able to put a smile on somebody's face and some joy in their heart and to be able to give them just that little bit of, you know what, right now it stinks, but right now just release and be able to just have a good time. Nothing makes people feel better than a good cry and a good laugh. God has blessed me with an amazing gift and be able to, my sense of humor, and people say, hey, where does that come from and things like that. It comes from life. Life is hysterical. My life has not been perfect since the suicide attempt. My life with clinical depression has not been funny, but there's moments in it that you have to use as a platform for laughter. And it's just, it makes things so much easier and so much better. It's so important. It's so important that you take time to laugh and take a break and take time out.
You have me laughing all the time. And let me tell you, on Facebook the other day, you put about your 92-year-old grandmother and her knowing about the Harley Davidson place.
Yes, 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 yes. When I talk about joy in my journey, I am absolutely in a very humbling place in life. When I share my full story, Tina, at another point in time, when I talk about some of the challenges personally that I've went through and how God has changed my life tremendously, changes in careers and things like that have also happened. I moved, and I have a 92-year-old grandmother who's just a absolutely wonderful, wonderful human being who loves me, she and her my grandfather, with every grain of their being. I have the privilege now of taking care of in her golden years. Like we said, she's 92. She is full of life, and she is also full of no filter. This sweet little woman that just baked cookies and loved on us and blessed our little old hearts has now, I'm able to be able to breathe life back into her as we are roommates and I take care of her and I meet her daily needs here at the home and then I go out during the day and stuff. She just brings so much joy to my life, and that's where God has not blessed me with the ability to sit down and write jokes. My jokes come from real life. So when I tell you things that have happened, this is real life, folks. I mean, I know we all have those things in our life where, like, is this really happening? Is this really what my life is like? Yes. The joy in my journey is I now reside with a 92-year-old who is hysterical, and the things that come out of her mouth on a regular basis. And, you know, this is real life. This is the joy in my journey. I have two ways to look at it. I can be very bitter because of the things I lost, or I can just love the experiences that I'm faced with every day. And she is one of the purest joys that I have in life right now. I've realized very quickly that sharing some of my stories regarding her have brought joy to so many others' lives, because it's just a breath of fresh air. You don't have to think. You don't have to do whatever. You can just laugh. Where I would like to tell you some of those stories just baffle my mind, but that's real life here. Real life on the home front. So
okay. So here, this was just brought on to me. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But I could see you writing a book about all of these stories about her and it being called Finding the Joy in the Journey. I would buy it, because I tell you, you just have me rolling with all these stories. She just cracks me up. The things that, you know, they have this saying about, you know, out of the mouths of babes, you know, I'm like, oh,
right.
Out of the mouth of Amanda's grandma. Oh my goodness. She's just hilarious.
Absolutely.
We know that laughter and humor has, you know, really helped us heal. How does one know that they're healed or that they are healing?
That's a great question. I don't know if in anyone's life, in certain situations, we're ever completely healed, or if we're always in the healing process, because we're always in the growing process in our relationship with God. And like I said earlier, my goal and my prayer is, God, heal me, completely heal me. But it's also, God, don't allow me to suffer one day shy of what you want me to suffer, or one day longer. The reason that I know that I'm healing, I'm in a place in life now where I'm being real. The daily challenges, they're tough at times. The ebbs and flows of depression, the ebbs and flows of being a woman with a mental health illness is very real. Those are very real things. Medications being balanced, doctor's appointments, life situations, working, financial struggles, challenges, things like that. It's all very real. But when you're in the process of healing, I don't believe for a second it's not that you don't struggle anymore, but it's what you do with that struggle. Certain steps for myself in knowing that I was healing, the things that I was challenged or struggling with before that would completely deplete me, no longer defeat or deplete me. But then other areas that continue to be a struggle and challenge, God has now worked with me, and I daily walk with Him and spending time with Him and knowing that it's important for me as a person who has this, just like, you know, anyone else takes medication in the morning or their insulin in the morning. Part of my healing process is to make sure that I'm up and I'm moving in the morning, and that I have the people in my life, and that I spend daily time with God, and that I'm doing this and that. And those things to me are so real and so alive and so important to me, to the point that it isn't just a routine. It's, I can feel the benefits of those things in my life, and I can feel the benefit or the lack of when I don't do those things. Are there days I'm going to struggle and have issues and, you know, even little trips and things like that? Absolutely. In that healing process, it's how you walk in that journey and how you find that joy in that journey. Even on the days that I'm struggling, the ability to know that I have folks that are in place, that God has placed in my life to be those go-to support systems, and the fact that I'm using them and that I'm trusting people and that they are accountable and that God is showing me those nuggets in my life that I need to see that he's still very real are showing me I'm reaping the benefits of spending quality time with him and doing as he educates me to do. There are things in my life that God has called me to do in the last 5 years that were absolutely not something that I would have planned on my own. God has very much convicted me. A thing with clinical depression and anxiety that's a challenge for me is time alone. When you're alone with your thoughts and you're taking captive every thought, and a lot of them are self-destructive, the last thing you want to do is be alone with your thoughts. A few years ago, for the first time, as I was diving into the Word and spending some quality time with God, God continued to put it on my heart about prayer and fasting. My battle with God was, I have to be safe, God, and I don't do time alone well. I don't do that well. The food part, won't be thrilled with, because I like to eat, but I'm like, I don't do that alone time well. And God continued to place that on my heart. It wasn't a Sunday or two later when our pastor started talking about something, and he went into a sermon series on prayer and fasting and how the church was going to be able to do it, because it was one of the first times I had, as an adult, had done a prayer and fasting. It was at that moment when I agreed with God, I had this whole conversation with God about, okay, I'm stepping off in this and basically saying, you know how this is going to go. It's going to spiral me into a depressive cycle because I don't do alone well. I have to do what I have to do. That I realized total dependency on him, where I have things that have to be in place. God showed me through just that step there, that was a huge step for me to be able to say, okay, God, you are more powerful than my depression. And I'm giving you alone time so you can show me who I am, whose I am, and how valuable I am, and what you want me to do and where you want me to be, knowing the obvious spiral that being alone tends to put me in. And God showed me through that time that, you know what, Amanda, you're growing, you're healing, you're learning. And he showed up and showed out. Amazing things happen. Amazing things that cannot be explained happened in that week of fasting. I believe it may have been a little longer than a week fast, but things that were not pleasant, but things that were amazing, because there was such a peace through some of the things that occurred. And those are the moments, as I'm not a daily, you know, let's keep up with the journal kind of thing, but I do jot and journal down those big moments and then go back, because that's one of those things I need to be able to do. But to just be able to see when you forget in those low moments how much God has shown, he is showing up and he's showing out in my life, that's how I know that I am healing. There is progress forward.
I love it.
It's just amazing. And am I healed? No, but you know what? I don't want to be healed until God is ready for me to be. And if he needs me to be broken till the day that I leave this earth to be able to benefit others and do what he's called me to do, I am going to say that I have never been as dependent on God as I was now with being broken.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly why we go through trials and tribulations, because he wants us to draw near to him, where some people may run away. And some people may say, well, why me, God? But, you know, why not me? If God's going to use me for a greater purpose, go for it. You know, I'm like, all right, God, I know you're with me on this one. Not quite sure why I need to be shaped and my character needs to be shaped anymore, you know.
Yeah, I'm tired of being an example in a teachable moment. But, you know, here we are.
How can my audience members pray for you?
Well, First of all, I appreciate you guys asking that. Daily life with this is a challenge. And as much progress as I've made, it's still a hurdle. And I would love, 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 love continued prayer for just the daily joy in my journey and be able to not be consumed or to be overcome or overwhelmed by the destructive paths of Satan and to be able to pursue what God has called me to do. I specifically would love prayer as I do go out into churches and to different organizations and places and be able to work on erasing that stigma, because it is very, very important. And I feel like God has given me a platform that others don't have, and I don't want to be a poor steward of what God has given me. The other thing that I would ask for is continue to pray for those people that support me. That's not a job for sissies. And I just pray that they would just feel refreshed, renewed, and equipped each and every day with the times that they have to do different things and step in that gap, because I'm just so beyond grateful for them, and I just want nothing more than a blessed life for them as well. But I do ask for such prayer for them, because it is a challenge when you support someone that has a struggle. But that's something personally that I would love.
We can definitely do that. And I just thank you so much for taking the time to make us laugh and just enlighten us and encourage us. Just keep doing what you're doing, girlfriend. I love you, and thank you so much for helping me and helping so many people.
I love you too, and thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Thank you, Amanda, for sharing your testimony, and thank you just for making us laugh, just inspiring us. What an incredible amount of strength and courage you have. I love how you shared the myths about, you know, breaking that stigma in the church and educating people, educating the world. It's such a selfish world, like you said. And I just want to encourage our listeners once again that if you know of anyone, or maybe you're feeling like there's no solution to your problem right now, to call 211 if you're in the Tampa Bay area, and that will link you to the Crisis Center. There's someone there that wants to talk to you, or reach out to a healthy, positive person like Amanda shared. Also, there's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. Once again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. I want to remind everyone that, especially with school starting, please be observant of your children's behaviors. Watch what they're drawing, watch what they're writing, watch what they're listening to, anything that is just out of the normal. You know, watch what they write on themselves. There's quite a few things that are going on right now with young people that they have to cut themselves or write on themselves, and there's physical harm that they're doing to their bodies. A lot of those rituals and that lead to suicide attempts. So just be observant. Be observant. Talk. Communicate. Educate. Educate yourself. Educate your children, your loved ones. I love how Amanda shared about, you know, loving the unlovable and just freely loving one another. She just gave so much great information. I want to thank Idioms for the introduction song. Be blessed today, but more important, be a blessing to someone else. Thank you. You'll hear from me next Wednesday at 10 a.m. on Tina Talks Truth Radio Show here on One Jam Nation Radio.
This is Victor with Tina Talks Truth, and the truth is, why did Peter cross the ocean?
I don't know, why?
To get to Jesus! But I'm... And the truth is, there is hope.